Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Thursday morning edition of The Lost Podcast. My name is Jay.
And I'm Smiling Jill the Butcher.
It sounds like a terrible horror movie.
Well, she had that quirky little evil smile.
and wow, I I don't want to sound like a Homer for Lost, as you would
Homer.
Put it. As you would put it, but dude, I can't complain. These episodes are like amazing. Is it just me? I mean, do you feel the same way, Jack?
It's just you. I hated this episode. Couldn't stand it. Couldn't wait for it. In fact, halfway through it, I walked up, got out, just walked out of the room.
But seriously, though, I mean,
that was a great episode.
It's like the pace is just ridiculous. Like it's amazing. Like we're only six episodes in, and all the stuff that we've gotten so far. And it's unbelievable, like looking back on like season two, which is really slow paced, and this season where it's just like a mile a minute. It's just,
well, they're kind of stalling through season two and three.
Yeah, except for towards the end of season three, it started picking up.
Right.
But even comparison to season four, which seemed fast, this is just on hyperdrive.
Well, we're getting answers and
getting new questions too, and we'll get
more
to
questions
last recap today. But before we get into anything today, if you'd like to buy a new Jay and Jack t-shirt, you can click the link right now in the AAC feed or check out shopsalmonnate.com. They're pretty awesome shirts, and they're just as mysterious as Jack's receding hairline.
there's no mystery about that.
So
going gone.
And do you have at least a better crackpot theory of the week than last crackpot theory of the week?
I have gone out and got three of them.
Whoa.
They're not, I wouldn't say they're all gold.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as good as, say, Rose and Bernard working for Dharma.
I swear to God.
But I think they're pretty good. All right. They're better than last week.
Okay. All right. Well, Jack, are you
actually
ready to
anything's better than last week.
You ready to get to Lost recap?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Lost recap.
All right, this episode was titled 316, and much like a lot of people thought, and I thought, and I think you thought too, Jack, it would be the number of the airline. But it also had religious implications and stuff like that as well, but that was the name of the flight, flight number, I should say. But the episode starts out with Jack's eye opening, all of the pirate.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
And I was like, oh, wait, it's not the pirate because he's wearing a different suit.
Right.
It was like a bluish shirt, not a white one, and he didn't have, you know, bamboo going through his back.
No, not this time.
But he hears Hurley screaming. He looks in his pocket, and he has kind of a shred of a letter. And he goes...
It said, I wish.
Yes. And he goes after Hurley, screaming, and he sees it in that same lagoon where Kate and Sawyer found the box.
The Marshall's guns.
Yep, in the first season. And he dives into the lake. Hurley has a guitar.
Now, hold on a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why didn't Jack take off his jacket first?
Because it's not the same thing? I don't know.
No, when you dive into the water, shouldn't you take off your jacket?
I don't know. I'm not Jack. Okay. Is that like protocol? When you dive in the water, take off your jacket?
I think it's you're supposed to do it.
Or unless you're Sawyer, just take off your shirt in general?
Right. Well, Sawyer would have taken off everything.
Except for the jeans. For some reason, those
right,
you got to
keep the jeans on. You float better in jeans.
But he goes in, dives in after Hurley, and takes him to the shallower end of the little pond there. And he also sees Kate on the side of the lake, on the rocks.
Yeah, Kate on the rocks. It's a new drink.
And she said, or they wakes her up, and then Jack says, yeah, we are back.
Right.
Then it cuts to 46 hours earlier, and it brings us to the end of last week's episode,
right?
And where Hawking said, let's get started. And they go down under the church to what looks like a new Dharma station with a new Dharma logo. It has a lamppost there.
Yeah, and that's what they call it.
Yeah, and we don't wait long. Next, we found out what it is, and Hawking says This is the lamppost, and it was made by the Dharma Initiative to find the island.
Right.
At the commercial break. We come out of the commercial, and Jack asks Ben if he knew about this place, and Ben says no. And Jack asks Miss Hawking, and she says he probably is lying.
Right.
That was
I thought that was great. There was a lot of funny lines in this show.
Yeah, there was.
It had the drama, but also had comedy.
Yep. But Hawking says that the station was built on a pocket of high electromagnetic properties and energy. And
and these pockets can be found all over the world.
And yes, and the people that made this station. Now, she referenced like these people that figured out, made these formulas and all that stuff. Who do you think these people are?
Do you think it could be Faraday?
Why would it be Faraday if he's Hawking's
I don't know. Maybe son. He's back stuck in time and he's, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, who do you think it is?
Maybe the DeGroots? Because they're like part of the founding of the Dharma Initiative.
Right. Maybe Widmore?
Maybe Widmore.
Maybe Widmore funded it?
Widmore, I could see maybe funding it, but yeah. It is interesting to see. And hopefully we'll find out who those people are.
Well, just
are.
The way
sure
she looked, well, earlier, later on we'll find out that she is definitely Faraday's mom, the way she kind of just looked.
Mm-hmm. And, but she said they figured out how to predict where the island was going to be.
Right.
Instead of trying to find where it is, because it moves.
Yeah, they stopped looking to where it was supposed to be, but where it was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And Desmond pretty much has enough, and he flips out saying not to trust her, and that she wasted 4 years of his life. And she says to him, the island isn't done with him yet.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, and Desmond goes in.
It's done, brother. I'm out of here.
The island might not be done with me, but I'm done with the island.
Of course, he didn't walk around the pendulum. He just he walked right through the map. I'm like going, way to go, Desmond.
It was kind of, you know, like, cool bet, you know, but I was looking, maybe there's a blooper sometime where the pendulum hits him accidentally. but then he walks out, and Hawking then continues on. And,
well, didn't she say that's why you were never rescued? Because the
island,
because
the island kept moving, yeah.
And so that answered a question that we've always asked for the first two seasons. Why can't anyone find this island? We have satellites. We have this, and the theory was that pressing the 108 hid the island. All the different things we had, which were great theories. Well, now we find out the island's always moving.
Yes, exactly. Also, if during the scene, Jack's looking at a picture, and it's a picture of the island circa 1954. I believe it was the U.S. government picture.
Yeah, it looked like it.
So that kind of sets back to where we were at in episode 3, Jughead, when the Flash led us back to... the 50s version of the island.
Right.
And but she gives Jack a binder, and it has flights going over the paths of where the island could be. And she says, Azira Airlines flight 316 to Guam from L.A.
Right.
She says that he needs to recreate the original crash sequence as best as possible. And she tells Jack that he has more work ahead of him.
He goes, me?
Unlike the others. Yes.
Me?
And then we cut the commercial break. We come back to Hawking and Jack, and she's in her office. And
did you see the desk?
Yes.
Clean it up. How does she find anything on that desk? Of course, she goes right to the letter.
Well, exactly. So I'm sure maybe there'll be some more Easter eggs that'll come out of that desk.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the Monday episode to look at. But... Hawking then gives Jack Locke's suicide note.
Right.
And tells him that Locke, Jack asks, you know, why did he commit suicide? And says that Locke is his proxy and that he is going to be taking the place of his father.
So now would you believe that Locke is just a pawn?
No.
You don't believe that?
I don't think so.
He's just being used?
I honestly don't think so. The way they're setting up, he's going to be a very Jesus Christ-like character.
Okay.
Don't you think?
All right. They could be setting it up that way, but I just don't see it.
Really?
I just can't go with it. I just can't.
Why are you so negative?
I'm just
are you in a bad mood today?
He's just not Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, no.
All right, okay.
He's not Jesus Christ material.
No.
No.
Is it because he doesn't have long flowing hair?
It just, he's just not a, he's, I don't know. He's, move on.
All right. Okay.
I don't have an answer for you.
She says that Jack needs to get something of Christian's, to give or put on, Locke. And, what I thought was a great line is when, you know, Jack's kind of like, why do I need to do this? Or what does this have to do with anything? And she quotes John Locke saying, that's why it's a leap of faith, Jack.
Right.
That was
pretty cool.
In season three orientation, season two orientation, when Locke tries to convince Jack to push the numbers.
Right.
Remember, Helen said the same thing to Locke when, about not having to go over to his father's apartment.
It's me or him.
Well, exactly. That's why it's called a leap of faith. And she leaves him anyway.
In the next episode. Poor John.
We then go to Ben and Jack. Ben is praying.
Which seem odd.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, because he's a liar and murderer.
But they pray too.
I guess. Ben quickly asks about Hawking. He definitely wanted to know what was going on there.
I think he knew what was going on.
Really?
Yeah, he knows.
But I think it reminded me very similar because I watched Man Behind the Curtain this week and how Ben was really curious as to what Jacob told Locke. Remember that episode when he kept asking about that?
Yeah.
So
that could be. Maybe Ben didn't know, but I think deep down he knew.
Ben starts to talk about Thomas the Apostle and how he was, you know, one of the people that actually was there for Jesus when he came back into Judea. And even though he knew Jesus was going to die, but he's most often remembered as the one who doubted Jesus' resurrection and he'd actually see his wounds and to actually believe that he rose again. And do you think Ben is actually placing Jack as Thomas, doubting Thomas, and then he needs to believe?
Well, I think so. It's always been Jack's MO.
Yeah,
he's never been a believer.
Yeah. And what I think is kind of really cool in this episode is Jack, I think, becomes a believer.
I think so. Yeah, towards the end, I think so, yeah.
Like, and we'll get into the scene later, but...
Right.
But we leave the church, and we go to Jack in a bar, very similar to season one when we see Jack in a bar before...
Waiting for Anna Lucia.
Yep. I was half expecting, like,
another... Well, that's season two, right? No, that was season one.
No, that was the end of season one, in the season finale. Yes.
Right.
And but then he gets a call at the bar, and then he goes to what looks like a retirement home.
Right.
And
now, did you know who this guy was right away?
When I first thought, I was like, oh, is that his grandpa? But then he called him Ray, so I was like, oh.
I still held on. I go, that's his grandpa.
It kind of threw me off why he called him Ray.
Yeah, it kind of looks like him.
Well, yeah, it looks like an older Christian and an older Jack.
Right.
But so that's kind of cool. I wonder if are the two John Terry and that actor's been in a lot of stuff. I can't remember his name.
He usually plays a bad guy.
Yeah, he does. But we find out that Ray is his grandfather. He calls him Granddad.
Yeah, Granddad. And you notice that Granddad called Jack Kiddo.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he called him Kiddo. Oh, I missed that part. When they went back to his room, he says he had his bag packed.
Mm-hmm.
You think he was going back to the island?
That's what I was kind of thinking, that maybe he'd take him along with him.
That maybe he wants to, because he's escaped four times, he's not into magic shows. So,
did you like that they had a rabbit and going to make the rabbit disappear?
I thought it was funny. But that's typical for a magic show, right?
Well, I know, but referencing the many rabbits, Ben's rabbits on.
I know, but I thought it would be cool if he took him, because maybe at one point he was on the island.
Yeah, it was weird, kind of like, oh, there's his grandfather. We've never seen him before. So no. I highly doubt that we're not going to see him again. And it could be like a foreshadowing story element that they're going to bring Christian's father, Jack's grandfather.
A lot of people believe, and I believe, that Christian Shepherd was on the island before.
Yes. And if there is any kind of lineage between Jacob, Christian, Jack, and baby Aaron and Claire, like has been theorized, then... Ray, his granddad, would be part of that.
Maybe Ray is Jacob.
Ray, next time someone asks you if you're a god,
you say yes.
But he goes into a suitcase, and there he has Christian Shepherd's shoes.
Yeah, why would he have his shoes?
Because he needed them to put on Locke.
I know he needed them, but why would Ray have his son's shoes?
I don't know, because it needed, in the script, that he needed to have the shoes.
No, I think there's more to it. I think that Ray knew that Jack was, I think Ray escaped knowing they would call Jack, and Jack would unpack his bags and find the shoes.
I'd say that's a very, very high possibility.
I think that's exactly what it is. Nothing happens on this show by chance.
I agree. He gets the shoes from his grandfather. He goes back home to start to pour a drink. And then he hears a noise, and he starts going through his apartment. He's like, why couldn't he just turn on a light?
You never turn on a light. You never grab anything to hit somebody with. You never grab your cell phone, call 911. You walk through the dark and try to surprise the person that knows that you're there.
Seriously, I would have like at least gotten a bat or broomball stick.
It turned out to be a good thing at the end for him.
Yes. But then he walked into his room, and there was Kate laying on the bed.
Right.
And she, what was going on there? I mean, it's obvious something's wrong because she doesn't have Aaron.
She's a mess.
Yeah, she told him not to ask about Aaron.
Right.
And she makes out with him. And that's the
that was kind of like Pity making out with Sawyer, right?
It reminded me more of, remember in what Kate did in season 2 when Kate made out with Jack when she was all strung out from seeing the horse?
Right. That's true.
And she was kind of all wigging out that episode.
But she also made out with Sawyer a couple times when she was just stressing out over things.
So are you trying to say like you need to be around Kate when she's stressing out?
I'm saying it could be a good thing. I don't. I'm just pointing it out. But it is true that it seems like it just because the next. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but.
So then we come up the next morning. Jack made Kate some coffee.
Right.
And he tells the story of why Christian had white shoes. And
so now we get that answer.
Yeah, that was a cool answer because it was just like, why is he wearing white tennis shoes? Because
he didn't want to waste his time getting his dad. His dad wasn't worth him going out and getting a good pair of shoes.
Because no one would just see the shoes anyway.
He had an old pair of tennis shoes that's good enough for him.
Yep. And he gets a call from
So the opening scene of the pie, we see Jack laying in the bamboo.
Yes.
We see the shoes hanging off to over to the what, right or left of him?
Well, when he runs through,
we do see the shoes hanging there.
There's only one white shoe.
Was it only one white shoe?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I vaguely remember the producers, like Damon, like we were on their podcast, they said it wasn't the same shoe. It was just kind of like a.
I was starting to think that maybe this was important, that maybe Christian Shepherd knew that Jack didn't really care about him. He was putting that shoe up there to show him, haha.
Because Christian did have his shoes on.
He did have white shoes on when he was running around the jungle. That's true.
But like I'm vaguely remembering the producers talked about that, saying they weren't the same shoes.
Okay.
And they used the scene because they thought it was a cool shot.
Okay. It was cool.
Yeah. But we get a call from Ben, and he's at, it looks like, Slip 23 at
He's at the Long Beach Marina.
Yeah. And he's all bloody, look like he's been beat up, and he asks Locke.
Well, because Ben was going to go see a friend.
Well, yeah, he had some some stuff to take care of.
Unfinished business with a friend. Now, right there, I'm thinking, come on, who does Ben have as a friend?
Yeah, this is going to be a big mystery. What did he do? Because right. A, did he go after Penny?
I think he did.
Was his promise to Mr. Widmore?
Right.
Or did he have some kind of involvement in taking away Kate's kid?
Well, I was thinking that, but he's at a marina. He's at a dock somewhere.
Well, exactly where the boat would be.
Where the boat would be.
But this is, and I know this was your crackpot theory, I think, 2 weeks ago, that Penny's not going to live. I think Penny is alive, and Desmond or Saeed prevented that from happening.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I think the only way to get Desmond back to the island is for Penny to die.
I think that's maybe a good point, but I don't know yet, and I have a feeling, maybe it's just like wishful thinking, but I don't think Penny's dead. I think Ben was unsuccessful.
Okay.
Because just the way his tone of voice and everything, it didn't go as planned the way it looked to him.
Yeah, it could be.
But he told Jack if he could pick up Locke for him. And
yeah, could you pick up that guy?
Yeah, so then Jack goes to the butcher shop where Jill... is to pick up Locke.
And she's bizarre.
A teensy bit.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're a friend of Ben, I guess that comes with the territory.
I guess that's true.
But then Jack is in the big butcher's fridge house.
Fridge house.
What do you call that? Because it's all like cool.
Meat locker.
Is that what it's called?
But
that big? Are they usually that big?
I guess. I a lot of meat.
That's what she said. So then Jack goes up to Locke's coffin, and he then starts to put on his dad's shoes on Locke. And this is a great line. He's like, "Wherever you are, John, you must be laughing your ass off."
Yeah.
Getting me to do this. And he gives Locke his suicide note back, saying, "You know, I've heard everything you need to say.
You're crazy," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He called him crazy.
Yeah. But he gives the note back. But there was kind of like a point where, like, before the doubting Thomas, that Jack in this scene seemed to become a believer.
Right. I thought it'd been cool if Locke would have said, "The shoes are too tight."
or ticklish. Don't.
Or they're on the wrong foot.
But yeah, so I think there's like a pivotal moment in change where Jack becomes a believer. Don't you think?
I thought so. I really did believe at that point he was starting to believe.
Mm-hmm. So then we cut to commercial break. We come back. Jack is at Ajira Airlines. He's taking care of Locke, a la when he was taking care of his father's body.
Right.
It went a little bit more smooth.
He wasn't as stressed out.
Yes. The fly is in gate 15.
Mm-hmm.
He sees Kate there.
Kate is still looking bad.
Yeah, she's really strung out. So whatever happened, it was pretty heavy. So then in the security line, Sun runs into Jack. And
Jack's all smiles and Sun's all smiles.
Well, yeah, because I think maybe Jack was doubting maybe that people would show up, but he was being reassured when people were showing up, reaffirming his ability to believe now. We also see Saeed in custody, very much like Kate was, having the blanket over the handcuffs.
Yes.
So kind of in the place of Kate. Hurley is there, and he has a guitar case.
For his good friend, Charlie.
So is he bringing a guitar for Charlie, or is he just kind of representing Charlie with
the
guitar?
I think he's being Charlie.
Except
he didn't keep getting up and running to the front of the plane.
And remember also, Hurley had a graphic novel as well, much like...
Right.
Yeah.
Do we get a clip of that?
I don't have one now, but I'm sure we'll have it in time for Lost in Review on Monday's show.
Okay.
And I'm sure we're going to analyze that one pretty
closely. I'm sure it means something.
Yes. But the guitar case is also, it looks like an Ovation guitar, and that's the kind of guitar that Charlie had. Ovations are very unique, and they have a curved back, composite curved back.
Are they a standing Ovation?
We then go into, or oh, and then Hurley kind of has a nice moment where he buys up, 78 seats?
78 seats. I go, only Hurley would think, hey, there's other people on this plane. I don't want them to die.
Isn't he such a humanitarian?
But then the lady thought he was rude, and he said, no, they can't have my seats. I bought
them. Go on the next one.
Yeah.
Then they get on the plane, and Ben walks in beat up, almost late, like Hurley.
Hurley.
Yep. And everyone kind of protests it, but then Jack kind of vouches for Ben and lets him come in. And also you see Sun with Jin's ring, worrying about her husband that isn't there.
Right.
Much like Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And
how convenient.
Yep. Jack's seat is 8C. And also, as they sit down, the flight takes off and everything, we find out that Frank Lapidus is the pilot.
Yes, and Frank is no longer Kenny Rogers.
Yes, he's clean shaven and
no Band-Aid to the head. They finally got rid of the Band-Aid. I mean, that's just, he's living large.
I think it's only fair. We always say the girls, like, oh, they clean up nicely. So I'll give it to Frank. He cleans up nice.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, he does. He cleaned up nice. I wouldn't have recognized him except for the voice.
We're an equal opportunity comment.
Right.
Positive comment giver.
Yeah, sure. We're not sexist. We're, you know.
Yeah.
Equalist. Oh, whatever I'm trying to say.
We think everybody's beautiful.
Right.
We
in their own way.
Jack asks if he could talk to Frank Lapidus, and he comes out and he says he got the gig 8 months ago.
Right, 8 months ago.
So another token of fate that kind of just reaffirms.
Well, remember,
Jack's turning
Frank
to the
was supposed
side.
To be the original pilot, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he was supposed to be on.
He
that
was supposed
flight.
To be the pilot of 8:15. So why he shouldn't be left off either.
Yeah, and I thought it was great when Lapidus starts to actually see everybody else on the plane, and he says, "We aren't going to Guam, are we?
No, that was funny. He didn't. He was like, "Man, I can't get a break."
But you know what's really cool is like he didn't freak out and say, "Okay, I'm not going." He
no,
stayed
he
the
just
course.
Went. I'm with going with because I think he realizes he was supposed to be on the plane in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That fate is taking him there, so he just has to roll with the punches.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really glad that he's actually back because I had a feeling maybe there was kind of just let his character go. But I'm really glad that his story is still going to continue.
Well, we've got a lot of emails from people all season long. Where's Frank? Where's Frank? Frank should have to come back. Frank should have to come back. Well, now we know.
Exactly. We then go to still on the plane at night with Jack and Ben. Ben is reading Ulysses.
Did you like the line?
Well, yeah. It was like, what was it? Why are you reading?
How can you read? My mother taught me. Now, only problem is, we know Ben's mom died.
At birth.
At childbirth.
Yeah.
So
it's either one, he's lying as usual, or his mom read to him when she was a ghost on the island.
There's also another great line when Jack says to Ben, "Hey, there are other people on this plane. Don't you care what happens to them?" And Ben goes, "No. Why should I?" That was just hilarious. Well, I think Ben knows there's not going to be an actual plane crash.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
And we'll talk about that after.
But you know one thing that bothered me, though?
What?
I didn't see anyone drinking huge, giant water bottles.
Well, okay, we'll talk about like the After Effects stuff.
Okay.
Which finishes up. But Jack talks about Locke's note and, you know, essentially kind of Ben says, "Are you not reading this because you think it's your fault?" And that's what he's going to say. And Ben, you know, says it's not his fault, and I'll give you some space to read it.
Yeah, but do you believe Ben? If you're Jack, and Ben's telling you it's not your fault, do you believe Ben?
No.
All the times he's lied to you, you go, okay,
it's,
Ben.
It's tough. It's so tough. Because
Ben just told me it's not my fault. Okay, we're cool.
And he's such a good liar that he says it with so much compassion, it feels real. But it's more than likely just another lie.
Right.
But he reads the letter, and it's, "I wish you believed, JL.
Yeah.
And that's when there starts to be turbulence. But instead of the plane being ripped apart, a light flashes.
Right.
And they are transported to the island. We go back to the same scene that opened up this episode. And we go to the point where we left off, where Kate is awake, and they're saying, "We're here." And a Dharma van pulls up.
Yeah. Well, you hear there was music playing.
There was music playing. I don't think it was Shambhala, but
it was something similar to that.
Yes. And Dharma van pulls up, looks brand new. So I guess we're setting ourselves in the 70s.
Yep.
And the person in the van grabs a gun, walks out, points it at them, and Hurley says, "Jin?" And we see it is Jin
in a Dharma jumpsuit.
Jumpsuit.
Hmm.
Cuts a Lost. So,
great
now
episode.
With Jin working in there, I think it's confirmed that they're stuck in the past, right?
Right. I think that's what's happened.
Now, when I was looking at the Twitter before we got on here, people are saying, now, are people in different places, like, in time? Like, is Jack, Hurley, and Kate, like, in one time with Jin, and then
maybe son,
Ben is in other times?
Ben's son and Saeed.
Yeah, or in different times periods.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna say no.
No,
but I don't know for sure.
And
I just don't know.
And this is the craziest part. I never thought in the history of the world that Rose and Bernard could ever work for Dharma.
Now I'm gonna tell you right now, if all those guys are over there, if all the ones that were left behind, if we find out that Sawyer's there and all these other people are there. With Jin, if there's no Rose and Bernard, then that's a travesty of a travesty.
I swear, I never thought it'd be even remotely possible. And if they seriously make Rose and Bernard work for Dharma in the 70s. I swear.
Come on, I'm you gonna... don't want to see Rose there yelling at people in her Dharma jumpsuit, yelling at people for not doing something right. Maybe but here's... she could be in charge of keeping, you know how she was always in charge of the food?
Yes.
And I'm going to watch you, Shorty. That's her job. That's her.
Okay, but here's my question.
She's not, instead of Roger Workman, she's Rose the Grouch.
Here's my question. And to you and to the listeners.
Okay.
Do you think it really counts because you always pegged her as a bad guy who always worked for Dharma and was going to turn on him at any second? So do you think this really counts?
It does count because we don't even know if this has happened or not.
Yes.
We don't know.
It seems like it could happen.
If we see her in a Dharma jumpsuit or we see Bernie in a Dharma jumpsuit and they are working with Dharma... Then, of course, Rose and Bernard work for Dharma.
Oh, man.
It's in the past, right? At least we think it's the past because the van is
brand new.
Brand new, and unless they went out and got a brand... Well, I don't think they make the VW vans anymore, do they?
Well, not like that, no.
No. So that would be the past. So they'd be working for Dharma in the past. Now, we have to see it first.
We have to see. But the fact that it's a possibility is just insane to me. But
I think it's incredibly. I think it's just. It just makes my tummy warm.
But this was a great episode. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Also, with the scene opening up very much like the pilot with Jack's eyes opening up, do you think this puts an end to people thinking that that's going to be the end of Lost? Is Jack opening his eye, much like the end?
I kind of hope that's not the way they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the whole big circle.
Yeah.
Thing, how it just ends up how they started. I hope that's not the way they're going to go. So, yeah, I'm hoping that's the direction. I hope that ends all the speculation as far as that.
But do you think, like, this episode kind of put an end to that? Because they did kind of repeat.
It did, but you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know with Lost. There's no such thing as, unless you know for sure, unless you've seen it.
Yeah.
Well, you, when you see it, you don't always know. So
yeah,
I would say yes, but little window there that you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that. I feel like this kind of puts an end to that, but it is Lost. And if Rose and Bernard could potentially work for Dharma, I guess anything can happen.
And then you have to leave the podcast.
Was that the deal?
No, it's what you said last week.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said that on Monday's podcast.
Oh my!
But
gosh.
I'm not gonna hold you to it. You have some things you offer to this thing, so we have to keep you on for a while. There'd be three people out there upset that Jay is no longer on the podcast.
Oh man! All right, so Jack, that's what we thought. What do you say we get into some listener feedback, initial reactions?
I say we do it.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. We got a lot of great initial feedback from this episode 316. Jack, what do you say we get into it?
Do it.
All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Jovial in Rexburg, Idaho. I'm just calling in with a crazy theory about Aaron and Ji-Yeon. I think that Ben was trying to kidnap them, or did kidnap them, and he had them stowed away on the plane, so they are back at the island with everyone else. And I think that is why he was all bloody and beat up. It was because Saeed was trying to protect the babies from Ben, and that's why Saeed was arrested and on the plane with the police. So... that's about it.
Hi, Jay and Jack. Names from Texas. I called earlier, but I forgot something. I was going back over the episode, watching a couple of things, and one thing sort of stuck out to me, and it is my crackpot theory. The scene with Jack and Kate, it seemed a little bit, like, unnecessary. I don't know. I guess we were supposed to see the whole thing with Aaron, that he's obviously not with her anymore, but I felt like the whole kissing thing and what went down after that seemed just a little bit weird and, like, out of context. I don't know. My theory is that we're going to find out that Kate is now pregnant, and that just like Locke's body is a proxy for Christian Shepherd's body, and that Kate will now be pregnant, just like Claire was pregnant. And I think that the plane needs, the island needs for the plane to have, like, you know, new life, you know, a baby, basically, in the womb. You know, that's another one of those, like, sort of substitute proxy things that the island just needs for it to crash. So that's my crackpot theory, is that Kate is now pregnant. And sticking to it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Kelly in Miami. Love your show. I have a crackpot theory. I think that Jack's granddad was there in 54 with the Jughead group, part of the military, and that ties Jack even more to the island, from his grandfather's father, and then him, and then his nephew. So that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it. And I think the show should have been called "This Plane Isn't Going to Guam, Is It?" rather than 316, because that was just absolutely priceless. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Paul from Chicago. And me and my wife have had this theory now for a while, but we think tonight might have affirmed it a little more on the 316 episode. So we've been thinking that the reason the others had files and lists of names on the Losties when they crashed was because the Losties gave it to them in the past. And so what the others were doing is working to preserve the future and what was going to happen. So we have a lot more in our theory, but we want to see some more episodes to get an idea of what's going on. Love your show. Talk to you later.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is a really great Lost. I think this is my favorite episode of the season so far. I mean, revealing that they had, that the Dharma Initiative knows so much, they've built a machine that finds the island. I was wondering if, Ben was all beat up like that because he killed Penelope, and then Desmond tried to beat the crap out of him, but he couldn't kill him because of the rules of the island, you know. Pretty exciting way, development in the story. Anyway, like the puck.
Hey, Jane Jack, I have a theory about the lamppost. I think that that was how Ben was communicating with everybody off of the island. And I just had a question. Where does that giant pendulum come from? Anyway, can't wait to see listen to the show later. And it's back on, so yeah.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Brent in Houston. Two questions tonight after the great episode. Why is Saeed on a plane, and why isn't Aaron? I can't think of a reason for both that isn't Widmore. He had to have influence on both of this, and maybe his goons beat up Ben and convinced him to get on the plane. I'm very curious how Ben's going to end up on the island next week. Let's see what happens. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, this is Wolfhound from Ohio. Loved the episode. I noticed that it started out in medias res, which is a literary device meaning in the middle of things. The most notable example is from the epic, The Odyssey, and Ben just happened to be reading Ulysses on the plane. One thing, I'm pretty sure that we'll be seeing the condolence guy from the airport again. Well, take care. Bye.
All right. Jack, do we have updates for the Season 5 contest?
Yeah, but before we go, continue.
Okay.
Before we go. I'm just lost. There was a scene between Jack and Kate when they're on the airplane, and Jack says, "Hey, we're all together again."
Uh-huh.
Kate says, "We're here together, but are we together?" Something like that. Mm-hmm. So you think she was telling Jack, "Yeah, okay, we had, you know, but I'm not with you."
Well, I think it was like she noticed that the riff is that they're not all, you know, honky dory, happy go lucky, everything's back to normal.
But do you think she was telling him, you know, I'm not coming back for you?
Ah, that's a good point. I could see that. Also,
I think Jack's gonna. I think Jack kind of he was like really excited to see her, like. You know, like, oh, she likes me again, you know. When Granddad asked about her, he goes, "Where's that cute girl used to come with her, all the freckles?" And he goes, "Oh, Kate, no, we're not together anymore." And he just seemed excited to see her, so maybe he does love her. that I was thinking a couple weeks ago. But I don't think Kate. I don't think Kate likes him. I don't think Kate is. Kate is kind of funny. She does have issues. I mean, she does have.
Well, yeah, of course.
She's always on the run.
Something is wrong in Kate's world.
Right.
But also, I think she was also pointing out the definite rift between the Oceanic Six.
Oh, yeah, because Hurley just couldn't even look Jack in the eyes.
Yeah, that, and he was definitely not okay with Ben being on the plane. Neither was Saeed, was definitely on his own path.
Right.
So there is a rift between the Oceanic Six.
Yeah, because Jack and Hurley used to be so close.
Exactly.
You know, they start out together. You know, Hurley helped him with, you know, holding the marshal down. Well, he passed out.
Passing out, yeah.
But he did help him out. So it is going to be interesting to see how they, because they're all three, at least we know Jack, Kate, and Hurley are together.
Yes.
And there's friction between Jack and the other two. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, the update on the contest.
Update on the contest.
Question number 7, will Jack cry? Now, he came close several times.
Yes,
and I've gone back and forth with it, and I've talked to you about it. I even was asking my wife when we were watching, I go, is he crying? And he never really saw any tears. So right now, we're going to say no. Don't freak out. We'll watch it again.
Yeah, we're
going to,
upon further review.
Yeah, we'll do the instant replay.
Yes.
We'll throw the red flag, and we'll do a replay and see if he actually cried. But right now, we're going to say no.
Yes.
Number 9, will Super Kate return to the island? I think it's obvious. It's yes, and it's 42 points. The dude count. I counted two dudes.
Two dudes.
There might have been more, but he was really not into a dude mood. So,
no, he wasn't.
He said to one guy, he said dude to. Do you remember what movie he was in with Matthew Fox?
Yes, it was Vantage Point.
Right, he was in Vantage Point with Matthew Fox.
And he looks to be probably a new main character on the show.
Right.
Now, do you think he's a bad... Because he usually plays bad guys in movies.
He usually plays a bad guy.
So do you think he's a bad guy or do you think he's a good guy? Or do you think he's just like a random guy that accidentally crashed on the island?
I don't know. He's a pretty good big actor. He's been in a lot of movies. He's in Three Kings with George Clooney and Wahlberg. I don't think he's going to be... he wasn't an extra. I mean, he wasn't a... He's not going to be carrying wood.
No.
To the fire.
Maybe a marshal that was with Saeed. Is she going to be a normal character on the show?
I've seen her in... I was trying to remember what shows I've seen her in, but I've seen her in shows, but I can't remember what. So I think she'll be in more episodes, too.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see them again.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I think a lot of people are thinking that with the plane crash, we'd have more log-carrying people. Well, now there really wasn't a plane crash that we know of.
People were transferred, the ones that were on, we could have some more log.
Maybe they weren't transferred. Maybe the island only took the ones they wanted.
It's very possible. And with the way the Jira crashed, do you think that's how those people survive the first plane crash? That they were... Because you said it would be impossible to survive that crash.
Right. Everyone has thought it was staged. I think there were 35,000 feet in the air that it broke.
So is this an explanation? The island transported them there with the
right,
flash.
Right, and the ones it didn't want, who are going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that the whole, you know, you're going to die anyway. So that's the ones that were going to die anyway. That's die. Why they died, and the other ones were just transported down to their locations.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess that would explain how, you know, they survived we never saw specifically a flash or heard the noise in a similar way, but we can maybe assume now that maybe that happened.
Well, the only one that remembers the crash was Kate.
Yes.
So
Jack blacked out before the
right, and she was the one that said she's the only one that remembered the crash. So maybe that'll come into play later on. Two more things. Episode Hurley was in this one, so it's 4 for him. And Jin, wearing his Dharma jumpsuit, making it number 4.
And I think that's like my favorite one, is that Jin is back and he's in the story pretty heavily.
Well, at first people were kind of upset. They were saying the whole jump in the shark. You know, someone had sent a picture of, it was the Happy Days one where Fonzie jumps the shark and had a, if I remember correctly, they had a picture of Jin's head over Fonzie's.
I don't think that's jumping the shark at all.
I don't think so, but you know how, you know, people get upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people are accepting it more. I think everyone was happy because they liked Jin.
Exactly.
And they wanted to see him back, but, you know, we'll see.
All right, so, do you have your crackpot theory of the week ready?
Yeah.
Or you said you had 3.
I think I might even have 4.
Four?
Came up with a 4th one.
All right.
All more crackpottier than the other crackpotty ones, but crackpotty.
Wow, so a severe crackpot theory of the week?
Sure. Well, to make up for the fact, I have several things going. My head just won't shut off right now. My brain is just rolling. Nothing intelligent's coming out, but it
but
won't
stuff
shut off.
Is coming out.
It's
blood is coming out of your ears and nose.
Yes.
All right.
I'm Charlotte.
Daddy, come with me.
Let me get the drum set ready. All right, Jack, let's hear your crackpot theories of the week.
All right, the first one.
Okay.
You know I'm a big fan of Russo. I've always defended her. I've always said, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Back off. She's not
her
lying.
Her and Locke are your favorite characters.
Exactly. They would never, never lie. But you know how Russo said that she had the baby on her own, Alex?
Yep.
Here's my crackpot theory.
Okay.
That she makes it to Otherville.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's tense then. I don't know. And because we don't know when the houses were built. The Christian Shepherd delivers Alex.
Ah. Okay.
So that's the first one.
Okay.
Now my second one I got from watching Chuck last night.
Okay.
You know, Chuck's the Intersect. He has all the... If you haven't seen Chuck, he has flashes. He can flash.
Well, like people... It was like putting information in flashes of images. And
right. He's
like
a supercomputer. He's the Intersect. He's like a human computer. Now, room 23, we saw Carl. And we assumed that Walt was also put in this room.
Yes.
It's always said like it was a brainwashing type thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, like to kind of, you know, make you... You know, like how people brainwash you to
join a cult or something. Yeah,
I think because I always thought Ben is like kind of like Chuck. He knows he just knows everything, and there are people in the world that know things like that. You know, like for me, I forget things too. You tell me something, and a minute later, I'm like, "What? You never told me that."
But if it was a person in a movie, you know it.
Yeah, important information. But I think room 23 was to implant information into people's heads and to see if they had the capability of doing it. And maybe that's why they grab the young children at a young age where your brain is still developing, that they can put the information in your head and then you can go through life with information
like
that supercomputer that Dharma needs.
Ah, okay. All right.
And like Carl wasn't capable of doing it. He didn't have it in him. Like he stands there, we've seen it, he stands there and gets shot instead of ducking. So I think room 23 was to implant information, not to brainwash so much as we know brainwashing is to convince you to say, like, be a fan of Jays. And Jay would just keep brainwashing you.
The Blue Jays baseball team.
Right. Yeah. I think we know what Jay we're talking about. So that's that one. I'm just throwing it out there. Just giving something to chew on. I've always been wondered why, and I think it was Walkabout, where Locke is on the plane and Jack walks in.
Mm-hmm. I think it was your first crackpot theory.
It was my crackpot theory that at one point, Jack was Locke's doctor.
Yeah, it worked on him.
I think that's going to happen.
Really?
I think it's because how Desmond has in his subconscious, he remembers things that Daniel Faraday has told him.
Okay.
I think that the reason Locke looked at Jack like that, he couldn't remember why. But we're going to see that Locke actually, Jack, in wherever Locke ends up, that Jack fixes Locke's leg.
Hmm. Okay.
And Jack doesn't remember him. But Locke does. And there was that picture of where Jack was in the hatch and he stared at Penny. And then I came up with that theory that Penny was his sister from, illegitimate sister from Christian Shepherd. And I was close, it was Claire. But I think Jack's going to see Penny in the past. And it didn't click. He kept looking at the photo going, because it never made sense why he just kept staring at that photo. He saw Desmond. He knew Desmond before. But why was he kept staring at the photo? I think it was
good question.
The second episode of this second season.
That was in the premiere of the first season.
Right. If you go back and watch it, Jack
or
just
it was in one of those three episodes.
Right.
It was in the third episode when Desmond ran out.
Right.
And Jack went in. Yeah. So that's where we saw it.
Desmond
ran
out to the underwater hatch.
Yeah.
But if you watch, Jack just stares. He just stares at it. Mm-hmm. And it never made sense, but now it's starting to make sense that you go back in time, but you don't really remember people until you go, well, why do I, like, deja vu.
Would it really work that way? I think Desmond was the one that was unique that it would work to him.
But maybe
because...
maybe Locke and Jack are unique.
Okay.
I'm not saying all of them because I'm trying to think of other actors who have not actors, but characters that I've, like, I was trying to think of Hurley. Has he ever had a scene like that? Because I know when Matthew Fox, when he was talking about when he was on the plane and he's drinking the alcohol, they kind of told him why he was doing that, but not exactly why.
Uh huh.
So he was able to act, and it would be cool to ask, well, why were you staring at that photo? What did they tell you the significance of that photo was?
It's a good question.
So I just think that could be what it is. Just throwing it out there. Okay. And then four, I think that Kate somehow puts Goober on a plane to go to son's parents.
So you don't think Aaron was taken away?
I don't think Aaron was taken away. I think Kate, and that's why she said, don't ever ask me again. Because she doesn't want any information to get out. She doesn't want Ben to know. Doesn't want anyone to know. And she saw that son was going to shoot Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Who better protect Goober? At first I was thinking maybe she took him to Claire's mom.
Okay, but here's the question. Like, if they, because son left, obviously left her daughter behind, I guess, as we can assume, are they going to leave the island again?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. But remember, son said that I got a new friend for you.
Uh-huh.
And that could have been a clue. I think you could tell that Kate, we were joking around last week, Kate doesn't want to give up Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she wouldn't give him to Kate's, to Claire's mom.
Yeah.
Because then she'd have to admit that Claire's alive. Right? And she wouldn't want, I mean, that she couldn't get, there's no way she could get all that done and get to the airport and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
She was all distraught. You know, it happened that day. I think she somehow got Aaron to get to go to Kate's, not Kate's, son's parents.
Okay.
To protect her. To keep Aaron away from the people that are trying to get to him, like Ben, maybe Whitmore.
Right. So are those your crackpot theories?
Yes, and I'm sticking to all of them.
Wow. All right. I think you definitely made up for last week's.
Yeah, that's all I have. I felt bad. Last week was just weak. I felt like Jay.
Oh, snap. All right, Jack, you ready to close out the show?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Thursday.
Yay!
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
That's 206-309-0311. Call anytime with your last questions, comments, and or theories. Also, send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. That's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check our website at jandjack.com, where we have our Twitter page and our Facebook group, MySpace page, forums, all of that fun stuff.
And I noticed an email about Twitter before. I don't know how it works, but someone was complaining that someone was sending spoilers to Twitter. How can we prevent that? I don't know how it works.
I think it's just like same with forums. Because I put initial reactions to the episode on there too. I think that if you have a Twitter and you don't want to know what's going on with Lost, I just maybe turn off the Twitter for about 3 hours and just wait for it to get to, you know, the West Coast.
So if you're on Twitter, anything that anybody puts on there pops up?
Well, yeah, you're getting updates from people.
You can't block certain, like...
Well, you can. You can, like, unfollow certain people.
Okay, but you wouldn't know.
Yeah, and that's the only problem. But it's tough to say people not to talk, because then people that want to talk about it, they have to wait 3 hours and they want to go to bed by then anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know how it worked.
Talk about stuff as it happens. So, I mean, the best suggestion I would have is maybe stay away from the forums. Or, like, same way you'd stay away from the forums if you don't want to be spoiled.
And, like, I've learned not to answer the listen to phone calls an hour early because people in Canada
get the show. Do they get earlier than us still?
I don't know if they still do, but it was the Nikki and Paolo episode where they were buried alive before. Probably the best thing about Nikki and Paolo, their storyline, and I was spoiled
and
before
it
happened.
And you were spoiled on it.
I think next week we should talk about what a spoiler is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, because people confuse a spoiler with a theory. And anyway, I'll move on. Also, we talked about in the last episode, the 10 essential episodes. I think it was Kevin called from Texas or Houston. I think it was
something
Kevin.
Like that, yeah.
And I said I couldn't. I was telling. All of a sudden, we got all these emails. People wanted to know what it was. I found the TV guide. I'm gonna post it on the message board under show news and suggestion thread. I figure that's the best place to put it. And it's the 10 essential episodes that the writers of Lost have suggested you watch.
Okay.
To understand what's going on with this show.
All right.
And I'll try and post that tonight, so it'll be on.
Also, our 25-hour Autism Speaks podcast. It is March 21st through the 22nd. And if you like any information, like the hotel that we're working with, anything, any of the information, send an email to lpdonate@gmail.com. And I don't believe we're taking donations until the Friday before, I think.
Right now, yeah. We don't have a P.O. box yet, and we haven't opened up a, PayPal?
PayPal.
Right.
It's still open, but we're not doing it till...
Right, we're holding off until all the excitement.
Is there anything else you want to say, Jack?
No, I think that's it. I'll have more of an update on the schedule, hopefully this weekend. Still working on it. Hopefully nail it down the next, probably about the second week of March, we should have everything in place and ready to go.
Okay.
And people have been asking, too, are we going to post it? Because people are saying, I can't watch it live. And people, I've been telling people, because you can still hear what we did last year on TalkShoe.com. I went over there, it's still there.
Well, what I'm going to do this time is actually, instead of like doing it, kind of taking parts of it, I'm just going to like try and have another computer just record the whole thing the whole time.
Okay.
Instead of having the other way.
Because we're doing on Ustream, right? So they can actually watch it.
They can watch it as it happens. And I think we use Audio Hijack to actually hijack the audio and save it that way too. Because that was kind of the tough part last time, was actually saving the audio from the 25-hour podcast and stuff like that. But
plus, the audio from TalkShoe was not the...
I'm glad we're not using TalkShoe, but just wait. Probably, maybe Ustream will like totally shut down as well.
Well, there you go, Negative Nancy. There you go, Jack Shepard.
So we'll see you guys on the Monday show. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.